Hey, welcome back for an all-new episode of the A Wife Like Me podcast. I'm your friend and your host, Amanda Davison, and I'm just so glad you are here with us. We are in this series on betrayal and infidelity, and in this episode, you're going to hear from Tess Scott. She has found herself on both sides of infidelity, both being engaged in an affair herself, and then her husband actually engaging in an affair years later. And so you're going to hear about what led to that, the aftermath of that, and then how they reconciled and where they're at today. You're going to hear about the boundaries they have in place, and you're just going to get an honest peek into Tess's life. And you're going to just, I hope, find her story very encouraging and hope-filled in where she is and where her husband is today. If you are new to A Wife Like Me, or maybe you've been here for a while, I just want to invite you into helping us build healthy, strong marriages through Christ. There's a link below where you can get involved and give to the important work we're doing here at A Wife Like Me. There's so much that we are working on behind the scenes, not only to provide crisis help, triage help to couples who need it immediately, because there's no emergency room PS for a devastation in the marriage, in the home. And so we are that for couples, and also to help us move the Help Now project forward so that we can have more counseling videos on our website so that couples can get help right now when they need it, so that there's not a lapse in time to when they can get in to see a counselor. So help us in that effort and that endeavor by clicking the link below and just getting involved. We appreciate your support and help so that we can do that. Let's get into this important conversation and hear from Tess Scott. All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the A Wife Like Me podcast. We're so glad that you're here with us. I'm Amanda Davison, your friend and the host here. And my heart is so grateful because we are in this series on betrayal and infidelity. And, you know, months ago, I put out an email and I said, hey, if you have a story of betrayal or infidelity and you're willing to share it with other wives, with other couples to be a help to them, I'd love to chat with you. I'd love to hear your story. And Tess Scott was one of those wives who said, hey, I'll do it. I'll share my story to help, to be, again, a beacon of light, of encouragement, of wisdom, what you've learned, what you've walked through and experienced so that you can help others. So that's what this conversation is. I'm so excited, Tess. I'm so grateful that you are willing to share with us. There are so many different perspectives on this topic, and because our stories each look different. And yet, I believe there's so much. Everything we do at A Wife Like Me is not just one voice speaking to people. It's all of us. It's our collective stories that really, when we link arms, we can help so many more. And so I just thank you for being with us, Tess. You're a new friend to us, even though, again, we were chatting before I hit that record button, and it feels like we know each other. Just, you've been with A Wife Like Me for a while. And so emailing back and forth in the past and things like that. So it's just, thank you for being with us. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your family, whatever you want to share.
Yeah. Sure. Well, this podcast is so encouraging. That's why we've been emailing back and forth. So I love it. And thank you for doing that. And so my story is, my name is Tess Scott. I say I'm a Christian speaker and author and a black sheep turned Jesus girl. So I have a blended family of 8 boys. That's right. It's a freak show. The oldest one is 38 and the youngest one's 20, and we're almost there. Thank you, Lord. And I've been married 4 times, twice to the same guy. So I'm 58 and it's been quite a life. And although it's not my favorite thing to talk about, to be honest, like there's, you know, some shenanigans that happened through my life and I've made lots of decisions that I'm not proud of, but I want my story to make a difference in the lives of other people. Mm-hmm. We learn from story, right? Story is engaging and we need to share and we need to be real and be vulnerable about it so that other women coming behind us can will not think they're the only one. You know, I remember feeling like I was the only one. So my parents weren't Christians. My grandparents took us to church, you know, a little Sunday school with a little wooden chairs. And we sang Jesus Love Me and all that. But then as I grew up, you know, I had Jesus in my heart, whatever that meant, because, you know, it was like this safety net maybe or something. But it didn't mean that I really had a relationship with God. And even once I did, I still made terrible choices. So I can say that once I started, so I'm following the Lord, I'm going to church, but the way I feel about myself, without going into a lot of details, but I was abused as a child. So I always saw myself as, like, if you ask me to describe myself to you, I wouldn't say it aloud, I guess, but I would say, like, I'm dirty. I'm a loser. Like, I didn't think I was maybe worthy of anyone's love. And that's not an excuse, but maybe as I've grown and as I've healed over many, many, many years, I've come to understand a little bit better the decisions that I made. So even after I was a Christian and after I loved Jesus, I still had an affair in my marriage.
Yeah.
Which I don't think anyone probably thinks, I'm going to get married today to this guy who's really great and I love him, and then I'm going to fool around. Mm-hmm. Right. But the truth is, it starts as a conversation, or maybe just attention, or, you know, something that seems, well, girls can have friends that are guys. Lots of girls can have friends that are guys. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what I would have said. And it just, it can snowball really quickly, really quickly. And I was young at that time, way younger than I am now, that's for sure. But I'm just saying that because I really want Christian women to know that Christian women screw up.
Yeah.
Right? You're not alone if you've screwed up, and be careful to not screw up, you know, because it can happen. The minute that you feel like it can't happen to you,
it can. That's right. Yeah. Yes. So interesting. I'm just taking this in. I just, for you watching or listening, I don't know Tessa's story. So I'm learning it right alongside you guys. Mm-hmm. Gals, with you. And so you said a few things that I wrote down. I wrote down, you know, I followed Jesus, but the way I saw myself, you know, wasn't worthy. Like, I wasn't enough for people. Mm-hmm. I didn't view my, and that's really fascinating. It's a really deep insight that I think we, if we're really honest, there can be some disconnect there that we maybe follow Jesus. And so we would say, yes, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I am whatever, right? Not whatever, but you know what I mean? And yet at the same time, the way I see myself is not reflective of me following Jesus. So, like, I follow Jesus. I know what he says is true. I believe that his word is living and active, and I read his word and I soak it in. And at the same time, I have not fully reconciled who I am in him. Like, my identity is not solid in him. So that's interesting, because that is where this is all, like, it all begins there. If we,
that's right,
as wives, we're married, if we do not have that settled, who we are, mm-hmm, then anything can happen. And I also think, like, what you're saying is, the second you think you're good, the second you think, mm-hmm, oh yeah, I know, I totally know who I am, it's like, you're going to, it's like, mm-hmm, abiding. That word is continually coming to me. It's like, abide in the truth, abide, stay. The second I drift away into whatever, scrolling, thoughts,
yes,
monotony, comfortable, like, mm-hmm, anything, away from abide in him, staying with him, his word is feeding me. Nothing else is feeding. As soon as I drift away, I'm a target, and I am really at, what's, I don't even know. Mm-hmm. I need more coffee. I'm at risk for looking away. and forgetting who I am and being tempted by anything else that tells me something that I'm, that might feel good, you know? So I love that. And I also wrote down, okay, so I love the identity piece, but I also wrote down let's dig into this. It starts with a conversation. And I wrote, it's something oftentimes seemingly subtle. And that's the theme that I've picked up on through these conversations on the topic of betrayal and infidelity that I'd love for you to dive into. It often seems so subtle and innocent. Mm-hmm. Like looking back, why don't you just give us an overview of your story of betrayal or infidelity? And then how did it start?
I think it started, this particular instance started when we had a huge family, my ex-husband and I, and we were homeschooling. I was home a lot. I'm an extrovert, so I hate being home. By the way, I work at home all the time right now, and I don't like this. I'm in this little room and going, please talk to me on my computer. We were going to church, you know, I was a Christian. I was attending Bible study. Yeah. And I would say that when I would talk to the women in my church, small church, but when I would talk to the women in my church and we would have conversations like, are you a Mary or are you a Martha? And, you know, have you had that conversation? You know, like we're categorizing ourselves. And I would just think in the back of my mind, like, I am Jill. You know, like I'm that girl at the well. You don't even know who I am, right? I am this girl that you don't even, like I have this outside that you're looking at, like with big lace collar and the dress and the whole thing going on for Sunday. But inside, I didn't think that's who I was inside, right? So I think that was going on inside. Which no one knew.
So when you say that, do you mean I was trying to kind of fake my way through Christianity and yet inside I was very discontent? Or what do you mean by that?
Oh, not really discontent, but I just felt like I was a fake.
Okay. So you weren't.
I felt like I was a fake. That was it. Because everybody else appears so perfect on the outside. Mm. You know, all the other girls look like they have it all together.
So as though they had something you didn't, and therefore
or I have a lot that they don't. Mm. Right? My story isn't like theirs. These are girls that, you know, probably didn't have sex till they got married and, you know, they only dated this one guy and they prayed with him. And I don't know, like they had these perfect, you know, Baptist church. Like, I love my Baptist church. I'm not saying that, but they just had these perfect church girl lives. And my life wasn't like that. I was already divorced by that time. I mean, I got pregnant at 19 and got married because that's what you did in 1985. And that lasted like a year, you know, like my life, I felt like my life, my past was so messed up and none of these girls had that kind of life and good for them, but I didn't connect with them on a deep level because they would never understand.
Got it.
And I think that's what kind of drives me to be this real and honest and vulnerable about my mistakes and my past, which is now long forgiven, because there's lots of us out there. There really is, but we don't talk about it, right? We don't share that on Instagram, which is great. Don't. Okay. But from the outside, we all look, most people look like pretty clean and neat, you know? And if you're not clean and neat on the inside, which we're not, then we feel like alone, like we're the only one. And I want women to know that. And I say this, like when I was a young mom a long time ago, I connected with all my friends in real life, or I called them on my rotary dial phone, you know, and I could hear their kids screaming in the background and pulling at their legs. And I knew her life is a freak show, just like mine. But now your generation, Amanda, like you meet a lot on social, right? And if you look at Instagram and you see that big, beautiful house with the pumpkin on the porch and the wreath on the door, and you think that girl has her life together, I want you to know that if you showed up at her house unexpected and walked in, there is laundry on her couch, just like your house and my house. That's the truth. But we need to share that. Maybe not the pictures of it on Instagram.
I do.
But we need to share the truth that our lives are not perfect. Yeah. They're not. So that other women are encouraged. Yeah. You know, because we're trying to always match up or something. Like, I feel like we're the only one that doesn't have it all together.
I think what's interesting about what you're sharing is that when I asked, how did this start or what did that look like? You sharing that is really interesting. I think because you are recognizing that internally for you, you noticed you felt like something was like you didn't feel like you had your people. You felt like you were alone. You felt like there's something missing here. And that is very important. Because it obviously, but it's obviously part of what led you to make decisions too that you did. So continue. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I loved the attention, right? I loved the attention of another man, right? I was expecting my husband to fill all those spots in my life that really Jesus could have filled if I would have been willing to go to him for these things. And so it was easy for me to just strike up a friendship with another man, and I would probably have defended it. Like I said earlier, like, well, women can have friendships with men. You know, I no longer feel that way, by the way. But so that's how it started out. Just a friendship. Just, hi, how are you? Just, you know, seeing him on the street and talking, or like we lived in a small town kind of thing. And, it was terrible. I mean, it was just, terrible.
And that's, you know, like the proximity, that's a law of attraction. Actually, like I used to teach psychology, and, it sounds like there is a proximity with him that, contributed to this. Also, you're saying, Tess, you know, I felt like I justified my decision to engage in conversation with him. You know, affairs do not start in the bedroom, right?
Oh,
and no. So here you're like, I saw him. We started visiting. It seemed so innocent. And then saw him more, right? Like it's very, again, so subtle. And so, is that, would you say, I mean, you can go wherever you want. Is that sort of the theme that you see in your experience where it just started like that, or the decisions that you made were similar to that, or
Yeah, I think it starts subtle, like you said. I think when you're married, like when I was married, my relationship with my husband was, well, we had kids, you know, I was homeschooling, he's working. It wasn't maybe as exciting. There was not that, like, I really craved that attention. It was about the attention. That was probably the beginning of it. Was someone happy to see you? I mean, you know, when you come home from work or your husband comes home from work, they're not always like, oh, it's so great to see you. Look, you look great today, you know? And so finding that in another person, and I'm not blaming my ex-husband at all. This is not his fault. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that when you're married, you have that relationship where you have the freedom to not do your hair, right? Because he's coming home from work. So, I mean, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, right? And I'm safe in this relationship where I can not put on makeup, or I don't dress up for him when he comes home from work, right? So, and he has the freedom to do what he does. In our relationship, we have a great marriage now, but I'm saying that I didn't have the attention that I was somehow desiring, right? I was desiring that. And so I found it somewhere else. It's ruined life for all of us. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's important that we recognize that it's like there's a level of excitement to something mm-hmm. new. We're not human if we don't admit that, right? So whether it's a new, a new ride at the fair that you're going to try, a new sweater, a new place you're going to go travel to, right? A new movie, a new kind of dinner that you just ordered. I think there's like a level there that we have to be honest about. Like there is a very real thing about being human and finding excitement in something different. And so knowing that and knowing that our marriage union is to be safe and secure so that no matter what we are, not no matter, but in healthy behaviors, and I'm talking about mm-hmm. healthy perspectives here, not anything abusive, but within that realm of, you know, this is who I am. You, like our spouses know us and we know them. And there's this beauty in I can be who I really am and you're not going to go anywhere. That is what it's supposed to be like. Mm-hmm. But to recognize that comfortable safety in marriage that we are designed to enjoy, we just have to know that anything outside of that, there is the lure that the enemy has. So like that natural part of us that maybe is excited by something different, there's a healthy and an unhealthy way for us to really reckon with that. And like we have to understand that as human beings, there's going to be that temptation if we are not careful. Well, there is a temptation regardless. So to be honest about that, I think is super important. What did the aftermath of the affair coming into the light look like? And the reason I'm asking is because I think it's important that we talk about the healing process. So there's, you know, we've been talking about a lot in this series of the process. So it's, there's the darkness coming to the light, and that's a whole thing. And then the process of reconciliation, the decision to reconcile, whatever that looks like, is a whole other process, right? So there's like the initial unveiling of the betrayal or infidelity. And then there's the decision to go on the healing journey. For you, mm-hmm. Tess, what did, you know, because also there's a lot of women maybe listening or watching thinking, oh, I can't ever be honest about what I've done or what is going on or what I'm tempted to do. Because if I am, then there's no hope. Mm-hmm. We're going to end. We, you know, our family's going to be ruined. And, you know, so I want to just give women a picture of hope, but also like realistic, the process of what that looked like for you. And again, it looks different for everyone, but if you wouldn't mind sharing some of that with us.
Yeah. So this has happened numerous times in my life, but I'm talking about the last time. This is like, you know, my life is a freak show. But
so can I stop and ask, along with that, do you think mm-hmm. then that each time you engage in an affair, do you see it? Can you tie it to this deep inner longing that you just explained? Like, is it the same undertone of, I wanted to be seen. I wanted somebody to want me. I wanted, you know, to feel like I was, you know, exciting to somebody. Would you say it was a kind of the same undertone that I was looking outside of Jesus for something, and these men gave me that?
Okay. Yes. Yes, I would say that. So the thing that, that husband and I, like our marriage ended with that. And my husband now, so Rick and I, ended up getting married. Right. So we went into that relationship in a bad way. Okay. Right. Him from his ex-wife, me from my ex-husband, come together, start a relationship. Like, what could go wrong? Doesn't that sound like a wonderful foundation? This is sarcasm for starting a marriage or a relationship, which was ended up as a marriage. And we brought one more child into that. So now we have a blended family of eight boys. And It was difficult. Yeah. That is the understatement of the year, to start a family on those rocky grounds. And boy, we lived through a lot with our boys, with addiction, fighting addiction, just so many things. We adopted a special needs son, there's a whole book there. But I thought that because now I'm following the Lord. Right. So now I've come back to God. I am following Jesus. I mean, I love Jesus and we're going to church and my husband's coming to church. And I think everything is going along just tickety boo. And, I remember the day, like November 10th, I just remember the exact day we're getting groceries. And I said to my husband, this is my last husband, number three. And I'm saying I feel like you don't really love me. There's been nothing physical happening, right? You're not holding my hand. We haven't really connected. And I feel like that for a couple of weeks. And he's like, oh, a couple of weeks. It's been way longer than that. And then I was shocked. I did not see that coming at all. Right. So, we went about a year. We were counseling all these things and he ended up leaving. And he had been unfaithful. But I did not even know that. I didn't even know that was happening. It was like totally out of my radar. I didn't think that would ever happen. I was devastated. I just wanted him to stay. I didn't want to be divorced again three times. Like nobody wants to be divorced three times. I am not like some kind of, movie star over here. So anyway, but he did leave and we did get divorced. And every single day I prayed for 3 years that he would come back, like days or 3 days, 3 years, felt way longer. And God reconciled that relationship and he did come back and we got remarried and he's a totally different person. And that doesn't always happen. And it was not easy, Amanda. I mean, he asked me on a date in May, the 4th of 2016, and we got married in September. So for those months, we talked through everything that had ever happened in our marriage, our first marriage, and in our relationship and in the affair and in all. Like he said to me, there is not one question you can't ask me and I will be honest. And I didn't want to ask, but I had to know.
Yep.
And so we worked through all of those things. And there were a lot of people who did not want me to reconcile that relationship. Like, why would you take him back? Kind of thing. But I asked God to do that. And then when he did it, how could I not? Right. And the other thing is, how could I not forgive my husband for doing something that I had in the past done and asked for forgiveness for?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And sometimes I think it's easier to be the forgiver than the forgiven. Because I've been both.
Yeah.
It's really a mess. It really is. And only Jesus, right? It's only by the blood of Jesus that any of us can even live this life that we live. All glory to him. Yeah. Because we are just so in need of him every minute.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure.
But I know that, right? I'm well aware of that most of the time. Yeah. That's the only reason that we can still do this life that we do.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. I think that's profound. It's easier to be the forgiver than the forgiven, right? Because it speaks to that disconnect of like, I know I can forgive you for something, but when it comes to me personally and what I have done, it's hard to fully embrace and receive the gift, the free gift of removing all of the yuck and believing that it is removed for good and like truly walking in that freedom. I think it's a lot, it's a different thing, right? Someone else, oh, sure. Yeah. Jesus died for them. And you know, all their sins are forgiven and, you know, they're clean and brand new and given a new identity. Well, yeah, that's true for them, you know? And then it's like, oh, but you too. Oh, wait, what? Wait, hold on. I got to think on that, you know? So yeah, that's really profound And I love how God rewrote that. And what I also want to highlight for people listening or watching is that it, like you said, it was not an overnight thing. It was years, and it was even then, once he came back, it was this process of time.
Yeah.
Yep. That it takes, like getting help, getting counseling, getting somebody to speak in. And what is also what I hear you saying is super crucial and really required for you or for a married couple to be able to reconcile is that honesty and humility that it sounds like your husband had and has, which is I love how he said, you can ask me anything. There's not one question you cannot ask, and I will be honest. It gives you, it allows a foundation to be built on transparency, which then leads to trust. Because you cannot have trust if there's no transparency, even though you don't want to hear it, right. Even though you don't want to know it. Not that you have to know everything either, but it's, well, you know what I mean? The details and things like that. Not everything is helpful, but if you don't have that, you cannot rebuild. So that's something too, if you are dealing with this right now or walking through it and you have a spouse who is hesitant or seems like they're withholding, there's gotta be, if you're not already in counseling, go to a counselor, because if that, you can't make your spouse be honest and humble.
That's right.
And if there's a true desire to rebuild, there's got it, that has to be there. So go to a counselor, keep going. Cause that just has to be there for rebuilding to take place.
Absolutely.
What kind of safeguards do you have in place for your heart and your husband? Wherever you want with them.
Yeah. Yep. We have a deal. So we have rules for each other. Basically, like if my husband wasn't home and a man came to my door from our church, you know, like maybe one of his friends came to drop something off, I would never invite him in the house ever. Like, just because that's just a rule, not because I feel anything for any other man than my husband, thankfully. But I just want that to be known. And I think that a man would understand that, or I hope that they would. And even if they don't, I don't really care. That's the way it is. So, and likewise for him, if one of my friends or any woman came to the door and I wasn't home, they wouldn't come in. I mean, that's just how we do it for each other. And also, like, my husband is in a job where he has to work with women, and he was in, before this all happened, he was in a position where he worked with a woman all the time, like overnight shifts. And that's what happened. And so I know now, and he knows, like, we avoid that as much as he can. Like, he would not offer to train one-on-one a woman in his job. It's just too much. I know that the world doesn't think that, but we've experienced it. We know it, you know, and he respects me enough, and he knows he would just say no. He would just say no. And he's pressured to do that sometimes by bosses, but he just says no. So we have those kind of rules, you know, and also things like there's no, what do you call it? Lock. Yeah, that's the word, lock. There's no lock on my phone. You know, he can read through my phone if he wanted to. I could read through his phone. There's no secrets. There's zero secrets ever like with us. And we've been back together. We just celebrated our 7th anniversary this time, or 20 years on and off. I like to say that too, because we were married for 20 years minus 3 years in the middle where we were divorced. So 20 years on and off. That's what I like to say. And we have a really great marriage. Yeah. Really great. I remember, I just want to say this. I remember in December last year, our pastor was doing this series on Christmas, probably like Advent, right? I think it was the 18th of December or something. And he was talking about when the angel said to Mary that Jesus would reign, right? And our pastor said, how do we see Jesus reign? Because our world seems crazy. It doesn't seem like God's in control sometimes. So how is Jesus reigning? And he said, Jesus reigns in us. And that's why we can do the things we do. And I look to my right, and there is my ex-husband and his wife. Then me, my husband, and then his ex-wife and her husband. The six of us who go to church together. And I bawled all the way through that service. Yeah. Because that's the truth of it. We can only do this life because God reigns in us. That's what we have the ability to forgive and live forgiven.
Yeah.
That's
how. Yeah. What about shame in all of this?
Shame is the worst. I hate it. So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, right? Which is speaking and writing and talking to women and mentoring, because I want women to shed their shame,
yeah,
right? Shame kept me trapped for years, yeah, more than 20 years. Even after I loved Jesus, I felt like God can't use me. Oh my goodness. I'm a black sheep. Like, look at my past. You know, I'm the girl at the well. I'm like all those things. God can never use me. And I felt like I always had this underlying dirty, you know, persona that God would never use me. And I want other women to shed their shame. You know, we have to remember, like we talked about, our identity and who we are in Christ. And I want to help women to know what that is, by realizing what our thoughts are about ourselves and then comparing them to truth.
Yeah.
But how do we know what truth is if we're not in the Word? Because that's the only thing that we know to be true is the Word of God. That's it. There is nothing else that I know that I know that I know that I know to be true but God's Word. So I want to keep that going in my mind all the time, all the time, all the time, being the Word and then comparing my thoughts to that. And if that doesn't line up, kick yeah. it out, right? Replace it with truth right away. That's not who God says I am. What does God say?
Yeah. 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 I think for so many, if whether it's you or your husband, it's mm-hmm. there's the experience that you walk through that has the hopefully impact that's going to lead to transformation, right? Like, okay, this is what it is. This has happened. This is whatever that looks like. And now hopefully God willing and enabled and empowered, both spouses are humble enough to be like, I don't want that. And I want to turn from that. And I want to pursue, you know, a whole, full, abundant marriage with their spouse. And that sets them on that trajectory. Difficult thing that can plague so many, husband or wife, whoever that's been, mm-hmm. Is that shame piece, that what you've done is who you are. And that's right. never from God. It's not from God. And so, but like you say, we don't know that voice of condemnation if we don't know the voice of God and what he sounds like. And we know what he sounds like by knowing his Word. And so if you're mm-hmm. like, I'm stuck in shame, I don't know how to get out. I am what I've done. I believe this about myself. How could blah, 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 blah. Like I can't ever da, 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 da. Then maybe perhaps it's time to soak in God's Word and fill yeah. your mind with that alone. And that looks like literally sometimes maybe perhaps not even being able to be alone with yourself, with your own thoughts. Maybe it's mm-hmm. continual, even when you're driving, when you're walking, when you're on lunch break, having your earbuds, like constantly his Word on audio. There's so many great resources that you can have on your phone to just keep filling your mind with that and your whole and your soul and your heart. But mm-hmm. really, like that diligence, that place of shame is, I like how you said it. You were enslaved to the shame. I can't remember.
Captive
to yeah. it. And that is literally what it is. It's shame has you in chains if you are believing mm-hmm. that. And so there's a way out and it's only through truth. Mm-hmm. So I just encourage anyone to really, like, if that's you, dig into his word and don't, and literally abide, going back to abiding in it, staying there in that, so that you can be renewing your mind to the truth, what is true. What do you want to say to wives with your story, Tess, like with thinking about all that you've walked through? What do you want wives to take away from your story?
Well, I want wives to know that they're not alone, that you're not the only one, whichever side of this that you're on. I want you to know that your identity is in Christ. If you're a believer in Jesus, you are who he says you are. He is your maker. Only he decides who you are, and he delights in you. You know, I want you to keep that in your mind. I want you to fill your head with truth. That's just the most important thing. And like I said, you're not alone. We read the story in the last week about Rahab, who is one of my favorites, you know, in the Bible. And when the spy showed up at her place, she had already heard about who God was, right? And she said the whole city was already in fear over who God was because they had heard the story. So the story wasn't even just for the Israelites, like the story of God parting the sea was not just for the Israelites. It was also for the other people. And I think that about our stories, my story, your story, they're not just for us, right? We need to share our stories so that other people hear about how good God is. So share your story.
Yeah, that's so good. And I echo everything you just said, because it's not by accident, you know, like nothing you're facing or experiencing is a surprise to God. And it's like he is waiting. He is wanting you. There is freedom in being fully transparent and laying it all down and bringing all the darkness into the light. That is freedom. And so we just encourage anyone here watching, listening, to ask Holy Spirit to give you the courage to surrender it all and to bring everything out into the light, whether it's your own shame from something your husband has done or vice versa. And he is able, he is mighty. He loves taking all of the devastation and turning it into something beautiful, redeemed and whole and free. And so it's possible. Tess, I thank you for sharing your story with us. I know it is, like we had talked briefly before I hit record, that it's not a fun place to go, right? Nobody wants to spend time thinking or talking about these things. And yet it's because of your willingness to do that, that you can provide that hope and healing to somebody else. This doesn't like sound nice. You know, I think what you were even saying of like, we don't, as spouses, you know, let our, you know, we try and avoid everything possible to be one-on-one with the other gender, you know, things like that. It's like, that's not something that sounds cool or fun or exciting, right? But these are the things, the legit things that if we heed this wisdom, generations to come, right? It affects generations. And so ladies, like this is important. If you've never even experienced or walked through infidelity or betrayal, listen to what Tess is saying. Like, take it in, have your husband listen, like talk about, okay, what kind of boundaries do we even have in place? Do we have any? Also, I want to talk just briefly. I want to say, when you talked about your husband being willing, you both have full and free access to each other's devices.
Yeah.
If your spouse is not willing to give you free and full access to their devices, go to counseling. That's a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
So don't ignore that and lean into that. It's not right. There should be in marriage no secrets. And so if there are secrets, call a counselor, get in with a counselor right away. Because there's that for you to have a knowing, a deep knowing of each other, there has to be safety and freedom. And so then there would not be, right? So I just wanted to say that right. Because I think a lot of wives might be like, well, my husband doesn't want me to look at his phone or gets mad if I ask about it. That's a red mm-hmm. flag. So don't ignore that. Any final thoughts before we mm-hmm. pray?
No, I just hope that women, I don't know, we'll just know freedom, right? It's for freedom that Christ set us free. So to not be held captive by those feelings of shame, regret, all of that, and knowing that we're free in Christ, that's what I want. Yeah. That's what I want.
Yes, 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 and mm-hmm. yes. Tess, would you mind praying for the wives?
Yeah. Oh, God, you are so good. Thank you that you gave your son for us. Many would die for a good man. And sometimes I can think maybe I would give my life for somebody, but I would never give my son's life. Lord, you love us so much. It blows me away. I thank you for that love. Lord, I pray for every woman listening to this podcast today, that you will open her eyes to your love for her, that you will show her who you say she is, and that she will live in that identity. And I pray for every man, every husband listening to this, in the same way, Lord, that he will know your great love for him. Lord, I pray that they will be set free, and I pray that you will bless their boots right off today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Tess. We're sending you great big hugs and thank yous for being with us and sharing your story and your testimony. We thank you, and I'm sure we will be seeing you at some point again. So thank you everyone for taking the time out of your day to be with us and to grow in your marriage and in your faith. So we love you, and we will see you again soon. Bye, everyone.